In this episode, it's all about the return of Flickr.
This is TWiP.
Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking, we're kind of going back to the future, or back to the past and back to the future again. Because if you're like me, or like most of us, when you started, depending on your age, but when you started in photography and started sharing images online, you probably used a service called Flickr from Yahoo. And if you predate that, you know, Flickr was an independent service before it joined Yahoo. And now it is now part of SmugMug. So we're going to talk about a little bit. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that transition and all the sort of roller coaster rides that Flickr has gone through to end up where it is now. But I want to talk more about the state of Flickr today. And should we, as photographers, should we or shouldn't we be giving it another look with all the other options out there? And when Flickr started, there weren't many viable options. Now there are lots of options. So we're going to talk about why it's probably time to give Flickr another look. And here to do that with me are two folks that use Flickr. One of them actually is on the team over at SmugMug, the folks that that acquired Flickr. First of all, Hilmar Smith, you are here. You've been on the show before. Why don't you introduce yourself? Yeah. Give us a little background of Hilmar, who you are, and you know, why you love Flickr so much.
Well, I'm a photographer. I'm a Photoshop punisher. I love to punish pixels on Photoshop. I've been doing photography for around 7 years. And when I started, Flickr was, I think, that the first social media that I joined. Obviously, after a while, I went back to Google Plus, but now, a couple of months ago, I rejoined Flickr, and I'm loving it. I love the new sense of community that we are starting to get back in there.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward just to build a bigger community and you know, get it back to the way it was at the beginning, or even better.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's time to get it back to better than it was before, because times are different, right? So,
yeah.
So, Alistair, you're over at SmugMug, as evidenced by the gear that you're wearing right there. you are a SmugMugger, but you're also, you do stuff with SmugMug Films and a number of other things. Give us sort of your elevator pitch. Who is Alistair, and you know, what? Why should we be listening to you today?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm Alistair Jolly. I work at SmugMug and Flickr. I'm based in Scotland, but tonight I'll use my best international accent so that everybody can understand what I'm saying. It's a very international show tonight with lots of accents. Our headquarters are obviously in San Francisco, but for a good number of years, I was European manager for SmugMug and established our brand and our operation over here in Europe. For the last few years, I've been working as global marketing manager on many global marketing initiatives and projects, looking after our community and ambassador relations. And for the last 10 months, that role has now includes Flickr.
Yeah. Yeah, and now we're here, which is awesome, because like I said at the beginning, there's like my journey in Flickr, or my journey with photography or digital photography, sort of began with Flickr, and it was the, you know, the place where you put your photos. And this is one of the things I want to talk about, is the evolution of just sort of the ethos behind the images that you put online when you're sharing. Because back in the day, it was, you know, I'm going to shoot a bunch of stuff and then I'm going to upload it all and crowdsource the culling. You know, I'm just going to put it all on Flickr because I can, and I'm going to let everyone else tell me what the great images are, and then maybe I'll take those and put them in a portfolio somewhere. That has changed a little bit with a bunch of other things, and we're going to dive into that. But before we do that, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, and that's our friends over at WPPI, which is coming up. The trade show's coming up next month, towards the end of February there. So WPPI, I'm really excited that they came on as a sponsor, because I've been going to WPPI for many, many years. And it is the sort of thrust of a show like WPPI is not all about, you know, the show floor and the booths and all that, which is great, but it's more about learning new skills and shooting styles and different ways to, you know, or being presented with different ways to connect with both professional photographers and your peers, if you're not a professional photographer, as well as building new relationships and meeting new people. The cool part of it is because we seem to be increasingly a gear-centric sort of, you know, profession slash hobby, shows like WPPI that are put on by Emerald Expo are the perfect place to sort of get it all at once. And sure, you could get online and search around and watch YouTube videos, but you're not going to get hands-on and that sort of thing. So shows like WPPI allow us to get that hands-on. And if you're in business, it allows you to sort of discover new ways and new techniques and new services to help you grow that business. And probably one of the more important things is you get to meet all these famous people that you've been looking at online and in magazines and all that. You can go shake their hand and ask them questions about why they shoot, what they shoot, and or have them help you with a problem that they're dealing with. So I look at shows like WPPI as, if you're in this and you're serious about photography, you're serious about your business, this is more of an investment than a sort of luxury thing. It's an investment in your future. It's an investment in networking and, you know, just sort of staying on top of industry trends and all that. So the folks at WPPI have, basically it costs $30 to get into WPPI, into the conference, into the show floor. Extra if you want to go to courses and all that stuff. But 30 bucks to get into the show. You can see everything that the show has to offer for the most part, aside from the educational stuff. And what they've done is they've given me a special link that will give you a free expo pass. So if you are planning to go to WPPI and haven't registered yet, you can do so for free at wppiexpo.com/twip. That's wppiexpo.com/twip. That'll get you into the expo for free. If you don't use that link, it's going to cost you $30. So that's it. I want to thank WPPI and Emerald Expo for their support of This Week in Photo, and I look forward to working with you. All right, guys, let's dive back into our topic. So Flickr, right? So like I said, we were using Flickr, or I was using Flickr as sort of the built-in crowdsourced culling engine. I want to jump to the future. Let's jump over all the drama that Flickr went through, all the acquisition stuff, the bullet they dodged with Verizon, all that stuff, right? And Alistair, I want to start with you. So the current state of Flickr, what has changed? If someone hasn't logged into Flickr, let's say for the last year or so, they still have an account, but they're like, you know, I don't want to delete it because I don't know what's going on, but you know, I'm sharing things by using other services. Why should they come to Flickr, and what's new over there?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be hard to talk about the future without referencing the past,
of course.
But I'll do my best to focus as much as I can on where we're going. You know, things have already improved in our eyes. The focus over the last number of years, unfortunately, has shifted away from the photographer and photography. And, you know, decisions that were made by the companies that owned the product, you know, with the best of intentions, unfortunately had the impact of making it focus more on a storage platform rather than a community of photographers and focusing on photography. So one of the decisions we made very early on was to write that and realign the focus of the product to be about the photographer and about photography. It's something that we've always had a shared vision with our Smug Mug product and now with both products. So we need to shift the focus away from it being a dumping ground where you put all your images, and being back to where you curate what you share, where you share your best work, where the community loves to see the work that you've shared, get involved in the discussion around the how, the why, critique images, and as I say, really bring it back to being about a community of people sharing photography that they love, and not just a dumping ground for every photograph you take and auto upload from your device.
Yeah. And that's a good phrase for it. The dumping ground. And that's basically what a lot of people were using it as. Hilmar, what about you? How were you using Flickr, and how has your usage of Flickr changed from, let's say, the old guard to the new guard?
Well, as the beginning, as everybody, I was just dumping everything in there. I didn't use it for many years. And when SmugMug bought Flickr, I went back and new Flickr, new me. I just got rid of everything and I opened a new account. I mean, I got divorced and my life changed so much.
You mean he took the Flickr account? What are you saying? The judge awarded him the Flickr account? Come on, that's not fair.
No, I mean that I deleted all the pictures and I started a new account. And I use it kind of the way that I use my other social media. I post my best work. I created a group a couple of days ago on Flickr that is called Storytelling and Photoshop Compositing with Hilmar Smith. And I have a link with a Facebook group, and what I do is just I get all of my all of the people on the group posting the pictures on Flickr. And my goal with this group and with Flickr in general is to kind of bring back the community, the photography community that we had so many years ago in Google Plus. Mm-hmm. I met all of the photographers and all the people that I admire and that now became like part of my life and my best friends back in Google Plus. So I love the features because some people say, well, what I will go to Flickr if we now have Instagram? Well, the difference is humongous. On Flickr, you have the opportunity of having a community and having like a discussion in different groups, something that you cannot do on Instagram. And the part of the community, like we're doing photo walks and we're doing all that kind of things that's how I fell in love with photography and with the whole photography community. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want Flickr to be like.
Yeah,
that's what I'm expecting.
And that's what I would hope too, because I think what, like you said, and you hit it right on the head, Hilmar, one of the things that's missing in just sort of the photography world right now is the community aspect. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there's communities. TWIP has a community, a TWIP Pro community, but the giant sort of umbrella community like we were expecting from Google Plus, you know, and they put all that money behind it. They did the big conference and all that stuff, and everyone was excited for Google Plus and Hangouts, and it was just going to change the world until it didn't. So, Alistair, I want to ask you: is that one of the goals for the, let's call it the new Flickr, is to sort of take the baton from where Google dropped it and pick it up and run it to the finish line? And what does that finish line look like? Is it a community, a giant community of photographers that then some of them ascend into being paid SmugMug members? What does that look like for you?
So the interesting thing is, you know, the topic of this show is the return of Flickr. The reality is for many, many, many people, Flickr never went away. There are still, you know, amongst our many tens of millions of customers, there's, you know, a huge, huge amount of community that has continued to live and breathe on Flickr and share their passions and share their photography. We just want to grow it and get as many communities back in there and realizing that it's still alive and kicking. So the future looks like many different things. Mm-hmm. There are so many genres. There are so many aspects and discussions and communities to be had that, you know, we can have them all. We have a platform that can fit all those different needs from, you know, the small group of people who share a very, you know, small niche to larger communities. And some of the things we're already doing is we've already had many photo walks that we're hosting and supporting from the West Coast through to the East Coast, moving into Europe. You know, we're doing one together in Paris, which we'll talk about hopefully later on the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's many, many aspects of Flickr. The timing is very fortunate for us, with things like Google Plus going away, with people falling out of love with other, you know, social platforms for many reasons that, you know, this show's not long enough to go into. But I hear it constantly from some of, you know, my dear friends, some of the most respected photographers out there, that they are desperate to get back into Flickr because it's what they need as a social platform.
Yeah.
A true social platform where we're there for the love and the focus of what we do and not there to be used by the platform.
And let's talk about that. I mean, all three of us, I want us to talk about this. So what I know you're dancing around it a little bit, Alistair, but I'm going to hit the nail right on the head, right? So there's this mistrust of Facebook going on right now for various reasons. I think they're in the news again today for something. So there's this mistrust of Facebook when it comes to your digital assets and image sharing. 500px, which was for a while, it felt like they were aiming to be the gold standard of image sharing, you know, only put the best of your best on 500px. And for a lot of people, myself included, it was intimidating because there was so much amazing work up there. I'm like, okay, I compete with that. I'm not putting anything up there. And then Google Plus, right? So Google Plus, with all the promise and all the amazing things that they were planning and giving to us for free, we know when it's free, we're the product. But, you know, all this stuff was free. But then for one reason or another, Facebook with their privacy challenges, 500px getting acquired by a Chinese company and changing things around, Google Plus going away created this vacuum in the market when it comes to community that SmugMug brilliantly swooped in and picked up the historic Flickr and is breathing new life into it. So then the question becomes, can we trust SmugMug? Can we trust Flickr to put our efforts, not so much our assets, because we can back up our images, but put our time and effort into building up a community again on this platform? Is it stable enough? Is it going to be around till 2025 for us to put the effort into it? Alistair, you want to take that first? What do you think?
I'll absolutely take that, and you know, appreciate you bringing that subject up. When we acquired Flickr, the press and the community were very vocal about the fact that they were delighted that SmugMug was the person who acquired Flickr. We have the reputation that when you pay for something, you're not the product. Yeah. You know, when something is free, you become the product. And since day one, our SmugMug product, SmugMug has always been a paid subscription product. We are a viable, you know, financially viable business, and therefore you don't have to be the product as the customer. We don't profile the customers, we don't sell data, all the type of things that we're hearing about. So we are taking that business attitude and continuing that with Flickr. Slight differences, there is a free product at Flickr, but the changes we have made to the free accounts, where we've limited free accounts to 1,000 images, has a couple of benefits to the community. One, it stops it becoming a dumping ground and people have to consider and curate the 1,000 images that they share. But for free, you can still be part of this amazing community and have all the benefits that that community brings. And if you want to pay $50 a year, then you get the benefit of unlimited storage. And, you know, for us, the win is the more people we can convince to pay for that subscription, then it's a financially viable product. And, you know, then we don't have to do all the bad things that you alluded to with some of the other platforms out there. And that's why our focus will be on the photographer or on photography and not on your data.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for that. And Hilmar, what about you? From your perspective as a user, you're not affiliated with SmugMug directly, right? So as a user and a lover of SmugMug and Flickr, do you feel safe putting your images
definitely.
Up there?
Yes, yes. I mean, I think that anywhere that you go right now, you will be safer than on Facebook.
Yeah.
At least I won't feel that you know, my mind is being read.
Right.
And everything that I do is being used commercially somehow. So yeah, I feel and I have to repeat that for me the most important part is the community side of things. I'm a generally people person. So if you give me the opportunity of build something and you know, and share what I do and what I love with somebody else and you know and have the chance to teach whatever I know and you know, and share knowledge and spend time with some people, I'm fine with it. And I think that we don't get that anywhere else right now. So to me, it feels like homey.
One other thing I'd like to add.
No, go for it.
Frederick, if I can, was for all the decisions that were made under the tenure of Yahoo and some of the feelings people have about Yahoo, I do have to give them credit for, you know, sticking out and making the decision. And they worked very hard to ensure that SmugMug was the company that acquired Flickr. They could very easily moved it on in a different way and got rid of the product in a different way. There's been articles written recently about, you know, Yahoo being quite open that one of their choices was just to let it disappear. And then everybody would have lost the benefits of Flickr. So I do have to give them credit for working very hard with us to make sure that the family at SmugMug were able to acquire Flickr. And if anybody knows SmugMug and knows who we are as a family, they know that, you know, we do business for the right reason.
I mean, that's, I've been a fan of SmugMug for a while, and I know many of the people over there personally, and I'm proud to, because it is, SmugMug is one of those companies that's family owned and operated. It is not owned or be held into shareholders, as far as I know, and it is, and it has the ability, the company has the ability to say no. It can say no to acquisitions that other companies would have said yes to in a heartbeat, right? Because they want to do the right thing. But I want to switch gears for both of you guys for different reasons. So Instagram right now, right, which is owned by Facebook and has some serious momentum out there when it comes to, you know, models, or even, you know, I was going to say Gen Xers or millennials or whatever, but people sharing their images. It's a lot of people just use their Instagram account now instead of having a website or anything like that. And it's becoming sort of the de facto standard. What's your IG? You know, that sort of thing. Is Flickr looking to take some of that cachet away, do you think? And Hilmar, let's start with you. Do you think you see a future where you would put less emphasis on your Instagram and more on Flickr, or is it, do you see it as sort of a dual piston engine? What do you think?
I don't know. You know, things changes. When I started, my place to go was Google Plus, and I actually forgot completely about Facebook, and then I went back to Facebook, and then I went to Instagram. So hopefully I stick to Flickr, but I think that there are different platforms, and you have to know that. You cannot treat Twitter the same way that you treat Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All of them serve their purpose, and you know, I'm not gonna dump all of my other social medias just to stick with one, because I think I can use all of them in a different way and benefit from all of them.
Yeah, yeah, and why not? Unless one gives you a reason to say goodbye, right? Some sort of privacy breach or something. So, Alistair, from a inside Flickr standpoint, how would you answer that question? Is the goal to have people like Hilmar migrate away from an Instagram and sort of plant their seeds in the Flickr garden, or do you see a peaceful coexistence between the two?
I think there are things you can do on Flickr that you can't do on any other of the platforms, and that is going to be the linchpin to people making that decision. The Instagram world that we live in now, there's no longevity to it. You know, an image that you post today is lost minutes afterwards by the feed of, you know, images that come after it. With Flickr, you can truly have a long form discussion about an image, about a topic. It has life after that initial publication of the image. And I just don't think you can get that on any other platform at the moment. It's one of the reasons I joined Flickr, you know, 10 years ago now, was that ability to really have long, meaningful discussions that lasted way beyond that initial attraction to seeing the image. And I don't think you can get that with platforms other than Flickr. Personally, I can't wait to get rid of most of the social media that I currently use.
Yeah.
The quicker I can get rid of Facebook, the better. I barely go there anymore. Probably just for Messenger communicate with ambassadors and people I need to for business. But, you know, for me, social media started with Flickr and was about discussing the passions that I had and the topics that I wanted to do without being sold.
Yeah.
You know, sold advertising, sold as a product, as a commodity. So me personally, I can't wait to get rid of most of it.
Yeah.
No, you made a very valid point there, which is about the images that you can keep them alive. And is the way that you have the option to share them in different groups and different discussions, things that you cannot do on Instagram. On Instagram, you post a picture and you get some likes and it gets lost, as you said, and that's it. But you don't have that community sense on Instagram. And that's what I was very excited of creating this group, because I want to talk and I want to build a community with people that do the kind of work that I do. So, you know, it's different when you go to Instagram and you get like a bunch of different images. But when you have a group that is in a certain topic, you can get together with these kind of people and share knowledge about this certain topic.
Yeah.
So that's something that I really love about Flickr.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the magic of it. I remember back in the day when I was really heavy into Flickr, hopefully again, was that you could spend hours or more on Flickr just driving and diving down into obscure genres. And you're like, wow, there's a million people that like this thing, you know, so you can totally do that. So I want to talk about two other things. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about integration. So in the past, right, the Flickr of the past didn't really need to talk to its neighbors that much because it was the 300-pound gorilla. Now there are other gorillas in the cage, and people like Hilmar and myself have Instagram accounts. We have, you know, our Flickr account, of course, or Facebook, etc. From a layperson standpoint, Alistair, what does the integration look like? Am I able to share images out of Flickr easily and smartly to other services and vice versa? Or are we looking at more of an island sort of metaphor here?
Definitely not an island metaphor. I mean, one of the great benefits of Flickr is the ability to share it. And, you know, what we've heard over the last 10 months with our acquisition of Flickr is images shared from Flickr are in many places the backbone of the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, many, many places that you go and see these collections of images, archives that are shared around the world by some of the top museums and some of the top institutions around the world, the hub of that is Flickr. The home of those images is Flickr. So the sharing abilities from Flickr are incredible. And, you know, the quality of how those images look when they're shared are fantastic. The future of that integrations and those sharing abilities cross-platform might look like, some of those, you know, many of those things are still to be determined. We are still very early in the process of taking over these, you know, tens of millions of accounts and billions upon billions of images.
Wow.
And there's still a lot of kind of uncool work that's not public going on in the background. We're still in the process of moving all that data out of, you know, the data centers at Yahoo and Oath into our own data centers. And unfortunately, it's, you know, it's not very sexy stuff, you know, and until that process is done, we can't really start some of the cool features that we will be working on and releasing, but we have big plans.
And I want to talk about those big plans a little bit. I know you can't reveal, you know, things that are secret yet, but I want to remind that there's a bunch of people in here. We got lots of viewers on this show. I guess people are interested in Flickr. I want to remind those people, give us a thumbs up on in YouTube. That helps us get the word out. about our show and our offerings and that sort of thing. So go ahead and give, I'll wait, go ahead and give us a thumbs up right now, and then we'll continue the show. No, I'm kidding. So Alistair, I want to, so actually for both of you guys, how important is video to you? And Hilmar, we'll start with you. Do you care about video? Looking at your profiles and your online efforts, doesn't seem like you're too much into video. Do you care? Does the future Hilmar care about video?
I do care, and I really want to get into it, and I think that it's necessary. And I've been meaning to get my YouTube channel going, but it's just like I have to learn so many things, and I have no time at all. Mm-hmm. So eventually it will be an important thing for me, but right now at this very moment, I don't do any of it.
Yeah. Alistair, so from a corporate standpoint, how important is video to Flickr? Does it support video right now? If so, how, and what can we look forward into the future?
Yeah, and certainly supports video at the moment. There is, some limits on the length of video that you can share and the quality levels that you can share it with. And that's also true with our Smug Mug product. We are very much and have been known as a photo-centric company, and our focus is on photography. But, you know, the world is a fast-changing place, and the genres of photography, still photography and video is certainly fusing together and has been for, you know, many, many years now. So we will certainly have a focus on the video element of it, and there will be changes coming relatively soon to some of that. Again, it takes, second place to a lot of the infrastructure type work that has to be done first.
The migration and that sort of thing.
The migration, even as someone who's inside, I can't quite get my head around just how big the migration process is. It's beyond my scope of understanding to figure out how our guys are moving that volume of information, but we are. So unfortunately, some of the cool stuff just has to wait on that, but it'll be worth it. And the focus will very much be on still photography and video as we move forward. I don't think there's any way to avoid that.
Yeah. No, you gotta do it right. You have to build the infrastructure, build the foundation before you can put the house on top of it.
Absolutely. And that was the success of Smug Mug for the last 17 years is that smart growth.
Yeah.
And that will certainly continue with the Flickr product.
Yeah. No, good. So in that same vein, the sort of the infrastructure and the growth and that sort of thing, a lot of people, myself included, when I saw the announcement of Smug Mug purchasing Flickr, the first thing I thought was, okay, all those users are now going to have Smug Mug accounts, and all the Smug Mug people are going to have Flickr accounts. They're going to put the peanut butter in the chocolate, and we're going to have Reese's. So what does that look like? Is there a defined, published sort of path of ascension from the free 1,000 limited image user on Flickr all the way up through, the highest membership level on Smug Mug? Or are you guys looking at them as two separate and distinct groups of people, community and business? How does that work?
Yeah, I will correct you. It's 1,000 free images on the free account, not 3,000, I think you said there.
Oh, but it's anyway, 3,000. Okay.
It's 1,000.
Oh, yeah. It's 1,000.
So our wonderful chief executive, Don McCaskill, has been very vocal and very available to the community as we've moved through this process. And we have been very open that we are, at the moment and for the foreseeable future, running them as two separate brands, two separate platforms. Many of our customers have subscriptions to both Smug Mug and Flickr, but they are different tools for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Smug Mug is a platform where you can showcase your work, share your work with your clients, sell products to your clients, but it can be quite siloed in that it's you and your customer base, or you and the people that you're sharing it with. Flickr is very much focused on photography and the community, and that community aspect of it. As I say, we have customers that may take the journey of starting off in Flickr, where we all started, and it's where we learned and grew, and then we suddenly got to the point where we needed a business tool, and they might go on that growth path of starting in Flickr and, you know, moving into a product like SmugMug where they can run their business and have a wonderful e-commerce platform, that type of thing. But at the moment, we are keeping them separate. There's no plans to have a single product.
Okay. Good. Fair enough. I want to remind the chat room and the folks that are watching this once again that if you want to get your questions answered, we're going to be diving into the Q&A segment in just a couple of minutes right after the upcoming Picks of the Week segment. But if you want to get your question in, make sure you type it into the chat and at mention This Week in Photo. Our community manager, Chris Berry, is in there collating the questions and copying and pasting them out of the chat and into the Google Doc that all three of us are looking at right now. So go ahead and get your questions in, and we'll get to them in the chat segment. So let's close this segment off and move into that Picks of the Week segment. Hilmar, any parting thoughts on Flickr and your usage of Flickr and where you'd like to see the service go in the near future?
I'm going to repeat what I said before. Is the community.
Community.
Part of it. What I'm interested in, you know? And all those things that we used to have in Google Plus, like the photo walks and the meetups and all of that, that's what I'm really excited about. And we're going to be leading a photo walk in Paris in March, at the end of March. So that's something that I'm really excited about, because those were the things that I used to do back then when I started photography. And that's how I met like everybody at Kelby One and most of my best friends. So I'm really excited just to do those kind of events again and, you know, get to talk to new people. And I know that I was studying, like a couple of months into photography, the first time that I went to a photo walk. And it was like meeting all of these people pushed me to get better and to learn and to do many things that I'm now like, I'm part of Kelby One somehow right now. I write for their magazines. I do a lot of stuff with them, and I met them in a photo walk. Yeah. So I'm very thankful about those events. And I think that are very helpful for everybody. For introverts, for people that are not behind of their computers all the time and you know, and talk to everybody like me, just going out there and you know, taking a couple of pictures and getting to talk to somebody that has been in the industry for a while, and that, you know, personal connection. I think that's something that we need as photographers, and that's something that I want to keep seeing.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's the community piece, like I said in the beginning, is missing, right? There's a huge chunk of it missing, and the parts of community that we do have, unfortunately, are suspect, right? So we have to worry about them. So we need a safe haven, Alistair. So
any, we'll deliver that.
Any parting thoughts on getting us that safe haven?
Yeah, it's interesting. I just want to revisit the photo walk thing. The reason I first joined Flickr back, I think it was 2008, was actually thanks to Scott Kelby when he did the worldwide photo walk, and much of that was shared and hosted on Flickr. And I was the photo walk leader at a few of those events in Scotland and posted all that in Flickr and created this amazing network of people locally that had joined those walks. So yeah, we'll definitely be doing a lot more photo walks. The goal for me is not to have to have us do them all individually. We need to scale it and have the community lead these walks, and for them to be, you know, happening all over the world and just organically, and we will support them as much as we want, and we will certainly drive our own photo walks. And where photographers are together, we want to be there and supporting them and helping the growth, the journey, the path, and the passion that people have for this amazing art form that we all love, and we'll be there to support it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. There's so much more to talk about, guys. I mean, there's a list. It's already 6:44. We have 15 minutes to get through this stuff, to get through the questions and the picks of the week. But things that we didn't talk about, I wanted to talk about, get more into the sharing. I wanted to get more into the mechanics of how, for people that aren't familiar or may have forgotten how Flickr work, I want to get into that. I want to talk about the apps, you know, that are available and, you know, both on Android and iOS and how they integrate and, you know, all that stuff. So we may have to do a part two. I'm just going to warn you. We may have to do a part two on this. All right, guys, let's dive in to the picks of the week. This is a segment on the show where my guests, you two, can recommend something to the This Week in Photo audience. It could be a piece of gear, it could be a service, it could be a technique, it could be a mindset, whatever you want to recommend. Hilmar, I'm going to go with you first. What is your pick of the week?
The Infinite Black and White Panel by Pratik Naik. Last time I was here, I recommended the color one, and he came out with a black and white version that I was part of the beta testers, and I fell in love with it. It has so many options when it comes to getting your pictures in black and white. And it's so easy and addictive to use. You just press a button like if you're in a slot machine.
Yeah.
And it gives you different looks, and it's great.
That's cool. It's called the Infinite Black and White Panel by Pratik Naik, right?
Yes.
Okay. And where can people get that? Where is it? Just Amazon or B&H?
In their website, infinitecolorpanel.com, I believe it is.
Okay, infinitecolorpanel.com. Yes. I'll link to that in the show notes on This Week in Photo. Perfect. All right. Alistair, what is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week, it would be too easy for me to see Flickr Pro, right? So I decided to share one of my favorite pieces of gear at the moment. And it's something I can't live without, and it's a product called LoopDeck. So LoopDeck is a console that helps you edit your images. It's an editing console that works with Lightroom. And I've been very fortunate. I had the version one of this product, which only worked with Lightroom. And now I can't edit my images without this product. Now with version two, it's a much more customizable experience. But it now works with Skylum and also with Capture One. So I love the Skylum products, and I can now use this console to edit away in Luminar and Aurora and all these other products. So it's a great tool. It's like getting organic again. It's getting your hands on and controlling the processing of your image with touch rather than sliders. So I love the LoopDeck product.
Very cool. So it's got knobs and dials and sliders to sort of organically manipulate the image. So it's if you're running an app, like you said, like Luminar or one of those apps, does it come with preset sort of controls for those sorts of apps like Capture One, or do you have to go in meticulously say this slider is going to go to exposure or things like that?
No, it's very smart. It's all mapped out so that when you simply plug it into Lightroom, then you know, brightness controls the brightness slider and contrast controls the contrast slider. It's all very, very smart technology, and it's just really nice to have your hands on dials rather than a mouse. And you can do more than one adjustment at a time, which I found really exciting, is adjusting brightness and contrast at the same time.
Oh.
You end up using 10 fingers to try and turn dials with your pinky as you're turning one with your other fingers. So it's a fun process. This is a bit of a learning curve, obviously, going back to using dials, but and then, yeah, it maps to Lightroom, to Skylum, to Capture One. But you can then go and customize it and make buttons do certain things. You can run, you know, certain profiles that you might have and stuff. So it's very simple out the box, but you can also get quite technical and customize it. So, I love it. They're a great bunch of people.
It sounds like you could, you know, once you get into it, you'd be performing the edits on your image like a pianist, you know, doing chords, you know, on there.
Oh, I wear headphones and kid on my DJ and stand with one hand in the air. So I don't know why.
Yeah. So you'll be able to look at an image and know, yeah, I was listening to electronic dance music when I was. Oh, cool. All right. Well, I don't normally have a pick of the week, but this week I have a pick of the week to share with folks. And if you've been a fan or a listener on This Week in Photo for any period of time, you know that even in our photo critiques, we talk a lot about story and storytelling and introducing that back into the world of photography. And a lot of the guests that I have on talk about storytelling. You know, you look at Hilmar's work and each image is a story in and of itself. So storytelling is one of those missing things in photography that that hopefully is coming back. My pick of the week is from Neil Gaiman. He's a story or a script consultant out of Hollywood, California. Worked on some big name films that you probably know. When you go over to the site, you'll see. But he's released a course on masterclass.com all about storytelling. It's not specifically about photography. It's about storytelling and the hero's journey and the multiple paths and all that stuff. And I'm listening to it now. And it's kind of like, you know, you draw these parallels of building your images that are based on story, or even in a single story or a single image, or even in a long form series of images. If you apply story to it, I think you'd be surprised at the result. So I'm really into it. I just started listening to it a couple days ago. I think it was released just earlier this week. But go check it out. It's over on masterclass.com, and it's Neil Gaiman on storytelling. So check it out. All right, we're going to move into the listener Q&A. So if you got your questions in there, we're going to go and get through those right now. Once again, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode of This Week in Photo, and that's our friends over at WPPI. If you want to get $30 off, or actually get your expo pass for free, just head over to wppiexpo.com/twip. That's wppiexpo.com/twip, and they will they'll give you that pass for free. So go ahead and check that out. And thank you to those guys for supporting This Week in Photo and kicking down that $30 discount for our fans and listeners and watchers. All right, folks, let's dive into the listener questions here. Let's take a look. There's a bunch of questions in here. Thank you, Christopher Berry, for hooking us up here. Question number one looks like it's from Dave Schick Photography. He says, I have a Smug Mug website. Is there going to be a way to integrate it into Flickr? I wonder who that's for, Alistair.
That's a sad question for me, is it really? How is Smug Mug website going to integrate into Flickr? So as I've already mentioned, you know, we are viewing them as two separate products at the moment, but we definitely want to have ways to share images between those platforms. It's already possible to upload to your Flickr account and your website to your Smug Mug account from Flickr. It's a little bit vague in what he means by integration. There's many, many ways we can envisage that, and you know, we're still probably in the process of making some of those decisions about what the future of those integrations look like.
Yeah,
unfortunately, we don't have a
clear. I know what I'd like to see. I'd like to be able to have the option of having one appear on the other, you know, at will. So if I'm creating a Smug Mug gallery, I want to be able to say, yes, also show this on Smug Mug. Or if I create a Smug Mug gallery, I want to be able to say, yeah, also make this appear on Flickr as a gallery and respect all the permissions that I've set and all that stuff. So just personal wish.
There's probably very few questions that people will ask or thoughts that they are having about Flickr and Smug Mug that we haven't already had or heard numerous cases. And you know, I'm not, you know, patronizing anyone, but you know, we've went through all the problems and the pain points and the possible solutions. And you know, we've listened very hard to the community, and you're delighted that people are sending in their questions again. And you know, there's some very clear things that we want to do, and have been quite open about for doing first. The migration, obviously, mm-hmm. as I've mentioned,
yep.
One of the things, it might not be a question here today, but one of the big things people have been talking about is getting off of Yahoo login. We've been very open that that's one of our focuses, and hopefully we'll have some positive news on that soon.
Love it. Love it. Cool. All right. Here's another question from frequent TWIP Live listener, Janet Robinson. Janet. Hey, Janet. Janet says, why use Flickr over Instagram? I use Flickr. I've used Flickr for years, but recently started getting more involved in Instagram. So why should someone, if they're an Instagram user, why should they listen to the siren song of Flickr and come over into the Flickr camp?
Thanks, Janet, for the question. I'm assuming that's for me again.
Yeah. Well, you can both take it if you want. Hilmar's drinking that wine over there. She's. I see the red in her cheeks coming in.
Yeah, she just told me to keep talking so she can drink more.
Exactly.
There are key reasons why I personally would use Flickr over Instagram. I think, you know, I've mentioned one earlier in that, you know, Instagram is a very here now, gone now type world.
Yeah.
Especially if you have, if you follow tons of people, it's very hard to sometimes give an image the focus and the attention that it probably deserves. You give it a quick, you know, a quick like and move on. Flickr is very much more a longer lasting conversation. The ability to tell stories and listen and communicate and have discussions around them is just a much longer process, which has life beyond that initial publication of the image. I think that is the key difference between Flickr and almost every other social platform out there, is that ability to have post an image and have discussions about it in different ways, in different places, in different groups, in different communities, all around that single image that isn't just posted and forgotten about.
I love that. Yeah, I look at it, and this may sound crass, but I look at it as Instagram is like your infinite toilet paper roll. So it's just... rolling and going down the toilet. They're gone. You know, you may see them for a minute, but then they're gone. Whereas Flickr, it, from what I'm hearing from you, Alistair, is more like a gallery. You know, you're going to walk in, you're going to see an image, you're going to appreciate that image, and there'll be conversations of people huddling around that image, talking about it, versus just, hey, nice image, thumbs up, couple of comments, and then on to the next one, right? Yeah. So,
and what's killing me about, you know, if you walk into that gallery and you're looking at an image and then suddenly there's an advert thrown in your face in a gallery, you just, it would seem strange. And for me, what's happening with Instagram now is, you know, I love seeing these images, but, you know, the number of ads I'm having to go through to see people's images, the lack of order now, you know, things just seem to be coming in strange chronological order now. And I just don't want that experience of having to have ads. If I could pay for Instagram so that I didn't have to have ads, that would be a great solution. Yeah. If I could pay to have a ad-free Facebook, that would be a great solution, although I don't, you know, want to share data there. But, you know, that's not an option. So, pay for Flickr and have a complete ad-free experience.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Hilmar, what about you? You know, when you look at just, and you've said that you're, you know, the whole community. You get that, right? So you know, going with Janet's question, you know, years and years of Flickr, then switching over to Instagram and sort of the mainstream, you know, looking at Instagram as sort of the de facto platform for their image sharing, and now the resurgence of Flickr. You're at that point of inflection because you're kind of in the middle right there. Do you agree with what we're saying about just sort of the idea of it being more Flickr feeling more like community over Instagram, or can you have both of them?
Yeah, definitely. I love the sense of community in Flickr that you don't get on Instagram. On Instagram, it's just like, look at my picture really quick and then it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't ever had a discussion on Instagram. What I love the most about Instagram right now at this very moment are the stories.
Mm.
Because it's like a more personal side of things. And I've said it before, I'm a people person. So I'm always more interested on the personal side of things. I love looking at beautiful pictures. I love following artists, and but I crave that personal connection. So in the stories, you see that. But now on Flickr, you get both. You get the beautiful picture, mm-hmm. and you get a chance of have a more personal conversation, a discussion, and getting to know people. And you know, building a community, building a group, just, you know, planning an event, and it's something that you don't see on Instagram. So I think that there are like very different platforms that I don't think that, you know, you can compare the one to the other.
Yeah, different tools. Yep. All right. Next question up is from Ariel Glaze. Hey, Ariel. He says, in what ways will Flickr be similar or different to Instagram? You kind of answered this before. but anything you guys want to add to that? Any main glaring differences that people should pay attention to?
Yeah, I think we've said most of that, Ariel. Thanks for your question. Hopefully you've heard enough to answer that. But
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying we're dismissing Instagram. There's maybe things we can learn from it, but we will certainly approach the social side of it with a completely different business mentality than others.
Got it. All right, Janet Robinson has another question. Janet says, a concern using Flickr has been photo stealing. Any plans to provide anything to make that more difficult? Note, a number of photographers that I know won't post on Flickr for that reason. Alistair, what do you say to that? Security?
Yeah, security is very important to us, not just in things being stolen, but things that what's also posted on the platform. So we are definitely making lots of smart decisions about what the future looks like in those areas. The reality is, if an image is posted online, then you know it's people can steal it, can take copies of it. And we will do everything we can to protect your ownership of that image. And we certainly don't take any ownership on our platforms. We have some things in the pipeline. Unfortunately, tonight's not the night to talk about them. Unfortunately.
Oh, come on, so maybe man. Come on. What are we, chopped liver? Come on.
Maybe we have another part two.
There you go.
We can do that. Some of these things aren't going to happen again until the whole migration process is done. But I hate to say it, but watch this space. It's a bit of a cliched line, but for some of this stuff, that's the reality of it. But let me reassure everyone that our focus is on the photographer, on their photography, on their passion, and we will do everything in our power to make it a great place to be and to share your images.
Love it. Yeah, here's a good sort of an anecdotal question from Mario Vargas in the chat. Mario says, Flickr is more focused on photographers while Instagram has a broader audience. I guess that's fair, right? Yeah, it's absolutely fair.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're the largest photo-focused community in the world, which is the reason we're in business. It's my passion. And in many ways, we don't want to dilute that. Mm-hmm. So, we will be focused on the photographer and photography.
Yeah. All right, the next two questions I think we hit on. I'll read them anyway. Alan Michael says, awesome channel. Thank you. Why would someone switch from Instagram to Flickr? All right, we talked about that. Ruth Happel says, hey, Ruth. Ruth says, in what ways will Smug Mug integrate with Flickr? So you guys are working on that, obviously. Nothing to announce tonight. And here's another one from Ariel Glaze. Ariel says, any plans for Flickr to have a chat service? That's interesting. Yeah, is that any sort of, let's call it Flickr Messenger coming?
If that's what he means about Messenger, chat to me can mean different things, from support chat to live chat to messaging. Nothing to declare tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I would just say that something like that right now is not our focus. Something like chat is things, all these things have been discussed and could be on a roadmap, but our focus right now is really getting the platform where it needs to be in relation to the infrastructure and the things that we've already promised to the community that we're going to do.
Love it. Yeah. One of the cool things about this conversation and just the resurgence or rebirth of Flickr is that there is life there, because we went so many years with it just being dormant and the giant question mark hovering over Flickr. It's like, is it going to die? Is it going to stay? But to know that you can, Alistair, make the comment, watch this space, and we're working on this, all this cool stuff that we can't tell you about, that's refreshing to hear. I like to know that activity's happening in the background, for my benefit. So,
it is cool, because we were all worried as a Flickr customer personally. We were all worried that it was just going to disappear and mm-hmm. that valuable resource was going to be lost. And it does have a future. It has a present as I've said before, there's, you know, so many people out there that it's a vital resource to still, but it definitely has an amazing future ahead of it.
Yeah. All right, a couple more questions. Looks like this one's for both of you guys. Myra Posner says, is Smug Mug arranging photo walks? Hilmar.
It's almost like a planted
question. Is there one coming up in Paris? There's this Parisian one coming up. What's the deal? So how, Hilmar, how is that working? So are you working with Smug Mug / Flickr, or is it a Kelby deal? Like, how, you're like the free agent floating around, the secret agent. Like, what's going on there?
You know, I talk to everybody. You know, I'm a talker.
Yeah.
So it turns out I'm going to be in the UK for the photography show, and then I'm going to do a workshop. And then I have my good friends, Dave Williams and Peter Treadway, and we always get together. We met through Kelby, and we wanted to do something together. And we were like, let's go to Paris. And then the idea of a photo walk came up, and then I just called this guy and I told him, hey, let's do a photo walk over there.
Nice.
And yeah, we've been putting it together. So
that's gonna be cool. Do you have a route set up? Is it, you know, we're gonna hit the Louvre, then the Eiffel Tower, and then what's it gonna look like?
We have a Facebook page on Flickr. We send you the link. I send you the link of that. So all the information is on the link that you are probably going to post with this on the info. Yeah, we have the road. It's going to be on March 31st at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Excellent. Congratulations. Yep. That's going to be fun. I can't wait to see the shots from that. All right, last question is from Ruth Happel. Ruth says, will the new version of Flickr, are you guys calling it the new version or is it just still Flickr?
It's just Flickr.
Still Flickr. Will the new version of Flickr try to have something like stories on Instagram? And I saw some people were in the chat talking about that as well. What do you think, Alistair?
Yeah, just to reiterate, it's just Flickr. You know, it's a lot of the comments we've been getting are, you know, don't change anything. So, you know, there's so many people who don't want us to change it, so don't make it the new Flickr.
Right.
The stories is interesting. I feel storytelling and having those stories, that personal interaction that the stories part of the platforms can bring, you know, there's a great opportunity at Flickr to actually not just share somebody's stories by watching it, but actually be physically part of it. The community events that we're doing, the photo walks, the meetups, not just that we're doing, but now, you know, we want to make sure that everybody knows they're empowered to just go do it. Mm-hmm. Create your own events, create your own groups, have those meetups. So hopefully for me, the stories are actually in real life. You know, they're real life events. As far as having a physical story part of the online platform, not something I'm aware of at the moment, but I'm sure maybe smarter people than me are having those discussions at the office.
That's good. I mean, again, refreshing, you know, to hear that it's not, hey, let's do what everyone else has done, because it seems to be popular, you know, kind of like, you know, Apple and the Apple Messenger or Apple Messages sort of trying to co-opt features that were showing up in Snapchat, you know. So we see this in tech all the time where, oh, there's blood in the water over there. Let's go get some of that, right? Instead of innovating and staying the course and just doing what's right for the user. So bravo. But
some of these decisions that are made, you know, to, you know, let's, you know, go join that, you know, bandwagon that everybody else is doing, they can be done with the best intentions in the world. But if unfortunately, if what they do is take the focus away from the core product, then, you know, we can, you know, lose sight of what we actually crave from the product, which is the discussion around the focus of the photo and the passion that we have to discuss and share that photo. So, you know, I think we need to be careful not to dilute that core value of the product with some of these features. But we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to operate, right? So if you're running a race, I always say this, if you're running a race, you can't win the race by looking to the left and the right all the time. You're going to trip and fall. Probably best to stay focused on the finish line. And then if you win, you won, right? So do your best, run as fast as you can. And, you know, and then if you won, you won because you won because you should have won. All right. Well, cool. So the last comment here is from Justin Lloyd. Justin says, I've been using Flickr since 2005 and am still using it. I want to see it get better and more popular. Instagram does not cut it. So perfect, a perfect phrase to end on for that. For the
thank you for that
listener Q&A.
Great
segment.
Comment.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. Any parting shots? Last thoughts? You guys want to leave before we leave the Q&A segment and close the show out? Hilmar, I'll throw it to you first. Final thoughts on Flickr or the Q&A or anything that you want to throw out there to us.
Well, if you are into storytelling and compositing, just come and join my group on Flickr. It's called Storytelling with Hilmar Smith.
Nice. There you go. Perfect. All right. And Alistair, any parting shots you want to throw out there?
Parting shots is you know, I want everybody to know that, you know, when you're on Flickr, you are empowered to do these community meetups and these photo walks. You don't need to rely on us to do it. We will do everything we can to facilitate them and be there. But, you know, stick your toe in the water, see what happens. It's how many of us get started in this journey, and photography is just getting out there and trying it. So, you know, if you can't find a photo walk that you'd want to attend, then start your own. And before you know it, you'll have your community, and people will love you for it and be grateful that you stuck your toe in the water and started that journey. So, yeah, that's what I would ask is, you know, get out there and be part of something.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, it just it reminds me, like, many years ago, I interviewed this photographer. She was she was particularly prolific in a genre called multiplicity. That's where you take photos of yourself. It was self-portraiture multiplicity. So she's a pretty girl. She take pictures of herself interacting with herself in the scene, but they were just flawless and just beautiful images that each one told its own story. And she was prolific on Flickr. I don't know if she still is. Her name is Rebecca Gudlifsdottir. She's from Iceland, and she, based on her Flickr work and the exposure that she got through Flickr, signed a number of high-profile magazine deals. And she had a gallery showing and all this stuff from just operating out of a relatively sort of small little hood in Iceland, right? So, you know, using Flickr. So I would encourage folks, you know, use the platform to do that sort of thing because, you know, it can be done. All right, let's close this thing off. We are at the end of another episode of This Week in Photo. Hilmar Smith, if people want to connect with you or otherwise follow you, you mentioned your Flickr group. I know you have other places where people can connect to you online. Where would you like people to go to be your friend and see your work?
My website, of course, is Hilmar, Gilmar, photography.com. Hilmar Smith on Flickr, Hilmar M. Smith on Twitter, Hilmar Smith on Facebook, and Hilmar Smith on Flickr.
And that's Hilmar spelled with a G. Right.
With a G.
G-I-L-M-A-R.
So many times.
I'm telling you, you should just change that name. I'm telling you, change that G to an H. Problem solved. Done. I love it. All right. Well, thank you for coming on, Hilmar. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Alistair, what about you? If people want to connect with you, obviously they can go to Flickr, set up a new account, or reinvigorate their old account. But if they want to learn more about Flickr, get into the Flickr vibe again, what are your suggestions?
Yeah, well, I'd certainly recommend people go check out Flickr.com. Personally, you can connect with me at Flickr.com. / Alistair Jolly. You can check me out at amg.smugmug.com, which is my own personal smugmug site. There aren't many Alistair Jollies in the world, so yeah, you'll find me. And then learning about the product, obviously we have lots of sources of information from our core pages at smugmug.com and flickr.com through to YouTube and, you know, other places where you can learn about our products. But do not hesitate to reach out. We're a very available team, and we're proud of that. And, you know, we'd be delighted to hear from you and help you.
Yep, love it. And thank you for coming on as well, Esther. I really appreciate it.
That's a pleasure.
What time is it over in your hemisphere right now?
It's now 3:15 a.m. in the morning, and it's quite funny. Just a few weeks ago, I watched an episode of TWiP with my dear friend Wayne Johns, and I watched it on catch up, and I thought, what is that crazy guy doing a webinar 3 a.m. in the morning. Why didn't he get, Frederick to change the time? And here I am a few weeks later, 3:15 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, I love it.
Exact same thing myself.
Yeah, everyone's trying to get me to change the time. Trust me, internally and externally, trying to get me to move the date, change the time. It may happen. It may not happen. Well, thank you to both of you guys for coming on. I really appreciate it, Alistair. Hopefully, we will meet in the future. Hilmar, I'm sure we'll meet at some upcoming trade show or something. Thank you for coming on. Very much appreciated. And thanks to all the listeners and people in the chat room that participated and submitted your awesome questions. Thank you for interacting. You made the show that much better. And remember, you can subscribe to This Week in Photo, the podcast, over on thisweekinphoto.com/subscribe and get the audio version of this show. Or on YouTube, you can just search for This Week in Photo on YouTube and subscribe to our channel there. I encourage you to do that as well. That way you get the video version and some other things that we publish, like our critiques that don't go out to the podcast. So I would suggest that you subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Also, if you do subscribe to the YouTube channel, click the bell to be notified when we do these live shows or post new content and that sort of thing. That way you won't miss anything This Week in Photo. And with that, thank you everyone for participating, my guests and the watchers. And it is time to take that lens cap off.
This is Twip.